Good morning, everybody, and this is Neil Sperry with the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. We're starting with some new equipment this morning, and the theme may or may not have played for you. I will sing it for you at this moment. Maybe I won't. Maybe I won't. We're glad to have you tuned in. We're live. Live radio is always exciting. It's just the best it gets. Give us a call, won't you, please? We'd love to hear from you. Nick Carissimi is actually the man whose screams you can hear in the background pulling his hair out. And that's 888-256-1080. And that's unkind. Anytime, though, you have changes in things that you're used to, you know how it is with equipment. You know how it is every time you get a new operating system on your computer, which, if you are Apple, is every moment. Golly. 888-256-1080. So we'd love to hear from you. If I can help you with a plant question, I think we have enough lawn questions to go around for about a 38-hour program, lawns alone. So give us a call if I can help you with plant questions of any kind. If you're seeing weeds that you want to deal with, if you are wondering about your fall vegetable garden, if you're wondering about planting bulbs or cool season annual flowers, as things do finally cool down now. Boy, it's been nice to have a little bit cooler weather. Give us a call. Pick up that phone. Give us a call. Punch it in, 888-256-1080 for the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. And I am here every Saturday from a little after 11 until just a little before 12. And I've been doing this program for well beyond 30 years now. We broadcast to more than 30 stations across the great state of Texas, all the way from the Sabine River in East Texas, the Sabine, which is filling with rain that fell recently in Central Texas and has made its way. Well, I guess East Texas got a good bit of rain as well. And we go all the way to the Big Bend country and into the South Plains and the Panhandle and all the way to Corpus Christi and Victoria. I love doing this program. This is the time of year that it's most difficult to do it. And then the bookend of springtime, when conditions are quite different from Corpus Christi to, for example, Lubbock. It just makes it challenging. I have to remember where everybody is. One of the things that I am noticing is with St. Augustine Lawns, before we get into the phone calls, is that St. Augustine seems to have had maybe one of the worst years in the history of St. Augustine. It has just had nothing but issues. It started out with take-all root rot in the spring. It then went to, for example, a lot of gray leaf spot in the summer. That's where you had the washes of yellow grass across the lawn, and we had a chinch bug outbreak like I've never seen. We are now, with cooler weather and with the rains, the high humidity, we are beginning to see brown patch in the eastern half of the state, and especially the southern parts of Texas. But I see brown patch in my own St. Augustine in the DFW area, and I am still seeing a whole bunch of gray leaf spot, and I have never seen it this late into the season. I took photos in my lawn this morning, and again, this is live radio, so for it to be here at this time of year, that's unusual. Gray leaf spot can be controlled with fungicides. Normally, I just recommend withholding nitrogen, but you're probably doing that already. You're probably not out there fertilizing right now anyway, and so I would suggest, if you have gray leaf spot, and because brown patch is going to become a problem, probably go down to your independent retail garden center and ask them to show you the fungicides that they have, the commercial, legally labeled turf fungicides for lawns, and not these home remedies, things of that sort. And I think you'll find some help there with both of those maladies. Let me give you the phone number again. We're going to get our program underway. We're going to see if that equipment works. I think we are the maiden voyage along this network for this equipment, so we'll find out together. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be an exciting day for us. It's toll-free. If you can hear me, you can call me right now. We have Wayne in Crockett waiting, and you have access to lines right behind Wayne. 888-256-1080. Call right now, please. Let's get those phone lines filled in. 888-256-1080. 1080, the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening. This is my book. I wrote this book just for you. You probably didn't know that. I wanted you to have a reference that you could go to and use for all of your outdoor gardening activities. It has 11 chapters. One chapter is devoted to the basics of gardening in Texas, things you have to know about soils and climate. One of them, the second chapter, people are telling me is the most valuable chapter in the entire book because it tells you month by month when you need to plant, prune, fertilize, and spray all the plants in your landscape and garden. Think about sitting down and writing a document that would have all of that information. It's not easy. Fortunately, I have done a Texas gardening calendar for many, many years, but I quit doing it 3 or 4 years ago because people weren't buying wall calendars as much. They just use their phones for calendars. But they said, won't you please give us a calendar with all those things to do? I said, you know what? I think I will. And this is how I did it. I put it in the book. Then chapters 3 through 11 cover trees, shrubs, vines, ground covers, annuals, perennials, lawns, fruit, and vegetables. 840 of my photographs, 344 pages. It's a hardback printed right here in Texas on the finest paper I could find for you. I think you're going to be very satisfied, and still, because it is not on Amazon and not in stores, it comes directly from my office to you. It's only $33.95, and I sign every copy of this book. In fact, I sign them at our dining room table. This is Small Business America, self-published, and I'd be happy to sign a book for you. Just $33.95 plus tax and postage, satisfaction completely guaranteed. There are two ways to order it. You can call my office Monday through Friday, 1-800-752-GROW. With an O, not a zero. 1-800-752-4769. The better way, though, is to order right now at neilsperry.com. NEILSPERRY.com. Homegrown goodness, that's what Mueller is all about. Mueller has been producing quality steel buildings and metal roofing right here in Texas for more than 80 years. Now you can grow a Mueller greenhouse right in your own backyard. Their easy-to-assemble, bolt-together greenhouses come in four sizes, from 6x9 to 12x18. They feature a galvanized steel frame with more than 30 designer trim colors from which to choose. With hail-resistant polycarbonate panels, lockable walk doors and windows, a Mueller greenhouse will let the sun shine in while it protects your plants year-round. Don't let the weather ruin what you've worked so hard to produce. Get a great greenhouse from a Texas-grown company. Visit them online at MuellerInc.com, MuellerInc.com, or give them a call today at 877-2-MUELLER. That's the number 2, 877-268-3553. MuellerInc.com. Mueller means more. And we'll have more right after this message. All right, now we got everything up and running, and that sounds great. Thank you, Nick, very much. And thanks to Kelly Robinson for that. Let me give you the number again, because we still have only Wayne ahead of you. I'd like to see those phone lines fill in right now. This is the best time of the year for gardening. You have time now to get a lot done during the fall. Nurseries have sales on so much of their merchandise. Plants that are set out now, this is the best time to plant trees and shrubs. This is not a sales pitch from your Chamber of Commerce. This is Neil putting his arm around your shoulder saying, this is the best time, and there's a very logical reason, and that is that if you plant now in late September, early October, your plants have, count the months, 7 months, 8 months, to get their roots established before the hot weather rolls in again. You plant in April or May, they get 6 or 7 or 8 weeks before the hot weather rolls in. This is a fabulous time to plant trees and shrubs. The only exception I would make would be if you have a plant that is kind of tender for your area, likely to freeze once in a while. And if it's a tree that's likely to freeze, you shouldn't be planting it in the first place. Or if it's a large shrub that's likely to freeze, you shouldn't be planting it in the first place. Small shrubs, okay, I'll give you that. You can try a few of them, but don't invest a lot in those. just use them experimentally. But this is a great time to plant 98% of your woody plants. So with that in mind, let's talk about the plants for your place. And we start with Wayne in Crockett, first call of the day. Wayne, this is Neil. Good morning.
Morning, Neil. How are you doing this morning?
Wonderfully. Thanks for the call.
I have a question about ant poisons, because I have a problem with ants in my backyard, in my front yard, in my next-door neighbor's yard. Every time I sprinkle Spectracide on my on these ant hills, and the next day they keep building more ant hills, and I try to kill them with Spectracide, and it's not doing any good. And if I keep this up, they'll start building Trump Towers in my backyard.
There was a time that Spectracide was diazinon. It was a singular product, and that was the active ingredient. It came as a liquid and it came as granules, but that was still the active ingredient. And then the manufacturer decided they would broaden it and use the name, because it had become a very well-known name, and because diazinon was going away anyway, they would broaden it to include a wide array of different products. What I'm going to suggest to you is that you use one of the fire ant baits. And there are some long-term baits. They do not give immediate control. But this is what I use on my lawn and on our rural property. Now, I don't try to control all of the fire ants on 11 acres that we own and on which we live. But along the road, and especially on the landscape part of that, I will use one of the baits that contains fipronil, F-I-P-R-O-N-I-L. Fipronil is a wonderful product. It's also in Termidor, the termite control product, and it's also in the very successful product that you can put on the back of your dog's neck for flea control. And so they have one. I'd love to have had the original patent on that one. But anyway, the fipronil baits will last for 90 to 180 days. And after a few days, they will eliminate the fire ants in an area. You put it over a wide area. There is the Texas, whatever it is, two-step, I guess, approach to fire ant control that you can find by doing research with the Extension Service, by looking up AgriLife Extension Texas two-step fire ant control, or Texas A&M Entomology fire ant control. And it talks about dealing with area-wide baits, like I'm referring to, and then specific mound treatments, and that's where you can get products like Orthene and others, or Acephate, that you can put on a mound. And that's where people say, well, but they just pop right up right next to them. Well, that's not the case. The case is you're killing the ants in that mound, but there are other ants in the whole area. If you use one of the baits, then you get the whole area treated. It just takes a little longer. The reason you would use a mound treatment would be, for example, on a schoolyard where kids are likely to step in them before the bait is effective, or along a sidewalk at your house, or along the driveway where somebody might step in it the next day instead of 5 days later after the bait has been effective.
Okay. I know it's very difficult to find the cheapest ant baits around, and where can I get those?
Those are available almost everywhere.
Almost everywhere?
Yes, sir. Nurseries, hardware stores, home centers, grocery stores. I see them almost everywhere I go.
Well.
Now, that's for fire ants, and that's I'm sure, what you have.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, Neil.
You are welcome very much, Wayne. Thanks for the call. I appreciate that.
My pleasure, Neil.
Thanks. All right, let's get serious now about this phone number thing, folks. 888-256-1080. All equipment problems are fixed and working properly. So give me a call if you would, please, and let me see if I can help you with something that's troubling you about your landscape or garden. It's a good time to make that call. 888-256-1080. We still have a line or two open, so give us a call. 888-256-1080. I'm going to tell you about my free electronic newsletter right now, and this is really a joy to do each week. It comes out every Thursday, just a little after 6 p.m. It comes directly from my computer to your computer. And the way that get it is you have to subscribe to it, but I will never give or sell your email address to anybody. I won't even know that you have subscribed. It's done through Constant Contact. And it is a very popular newsletter. Now, let me describe it to you. What I wanted was something that kind of resembled an old-fashioned garden section as much as an electronic newsletter can do. I wanted it to be timely. I wanted it to be pertinent for Texas. So what I've done is there are five stories in each issue of eGardens. And one of the stories is a plant of the week, something featured from that current week that will catch your attention. Another is the question of the week. What is the question that just keeps coming up? And it's been army worms for the last couple weeks. Army worms and more army worms. Then also, I have gardening this weekend, where I try to talk to you about things you need to do this weekend. Now, remember, it comes out Thursday after 6 p.m., so it gives you a chance to look at it Thursday evening, make a list of the things you need to stop and buy on the way home from work the next day, or while you're out on Friday doing groceries, whatever you're doing, and then you bring the things home and you're ready to roll Friday evening or Saturday morning. So that's, and then a couple of other stories, or it may be a second question of the week, or it may be something from my own landscape and garden. That's Neil Sperry's eGardens, free and always will be, and that comes from my computer to yours. But you must subscribe to it. The way to do so is to go to my website at neilsperry.com. That's the same place that you would buy my newest book, Lone Star Gardening. But for eGardens, you go to neilsperry.com and then click on the eGardens tab. In fact, you can see samples of eGardens there, and I think you'll say, hey, that is good. I think I'm going to sign up. That's at neilsperry.com, neilsperry.com for Neil Sperry's eGardens. We'll have more after these messages. Thank you, Kelly, very much. And thanks to those of you who are calling. We only have the one open line now at 888-256-1080. Call right now and grab it. 888-256-1080. Scott in San Angelo. Scott, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I've been fighting this yellowing of San Augustine in my yard for quite some time. I had recommendations. I put some high nitrogen on it, every 3 weeks, it'll turn real green. I mowed my grass higher. And then I guess that stuff, once it completes that cycle, that high nitrogen, and then it goes right back into this yellowing of the yard. All the blades are yellow.
Okay.
That makes any sense.
All right. My bet is that the nitrogen is doing you more harm than good. In the midnight, let me back up. I've told this story in a couple of different forms over the years, but not very many times. I grew up in College Station, and one of my friends, a man who was a year younger than I, our dads taught together, and Jim McAfee ended up going to Purdue, and I went to Ohio State. We both left College Station to get our degrees. We ended up coming back and working for Texas A&M. With the Extension Service in North Dallas at the Renner Extension Office and had the same secretary. We played Little League ball together as kids. And he was the turf specialist. I was the ornamental horticulture specialist, and Jim and I were good friends. He was the best. We've lost him now, but he was the best turf guy in the world. And when my lawn developed the same thing you just described, no matter how I fertilized it, back in the early 90s, I took samples to Jim, and he said, Neil, just lay off the nitrogen. This is gray leaf spot. And I want you to look that one up when you get home, Scott. Gray leaf spot on St. Augustine. It is a hot weather disease. It causes the lawn from the street, when you look at it, just to have a yellowish cast to it, just Okay, it's kind of washes of yellow through the lawn. It's not all over the same color of yellow. It's just yellow here and yellow there. And you put nitrogen on it because you think, well, that'll green it up, and all of a sudden it's worse than it was before. That disease is exacerbated by the nitrogen, and he said just lay off nitrogen in the summer and it'll be better. And so that's what I've always recommended. That's why I in my book you'll see the recommendation, and in all of my last garden calendars before I decided not to publish garden calendars any longer, I would say don't fertilize St. Augustine between mid June and early September. So you had about a 2.5 month time there that you didn't need to fertilize St. Augustine. Well, this year, 2018, something's happened because gray leaf spot has stayed around. I had a post on Facebook, on my Facebook page, about 2 hours ago. I had been at an event that it was a run for our Crepe Myrtle Trails of McKinney. I got up at 4 this morning and went to that. And as I drove in our driveway, I took a photo of my own St. Augustine up by our county road. It's not an area that I maintain other than mowing. I water it with overflow water from a ground cover bed. But I don't think it's been fertilized in 2 years. But it has gray leaf spot. Go figure. There's no nitrogen. And it still has gray leaf spot at the end of September. And I posted that beneath a man's photo several photos that he had posted about his lawn. You can compare your lawn to his, and that's gray leaf spot. And you can see my lawn. I accidentally put my photo in upside down. I was posting from my phone. And so you'll say, well, that's Neil's photo. It's upside down. I'll bet that's what it is. You'll see gray-brown lesions, diamond-shaped lesions on the blades. And if that's the case, it's probably time, because nobody's going to be putting out nitrogen this late purposely. Right. It's probably time to get a fungicide out and treat for that and for brown patch, which is going to start showing up pretty quickly, too. Now, I'm kind of surprised that you have gray leaf spot in San Angelo, as dry as you are, as far west as you are. But this year, I can't figure St. Augustine out. My last comment, and I've done a monologue on you, and I apologize for that, but my last comment on St. Augustine, I've used this line many times. I'm in a 12-step group of parents helping parents who have children with some issues, and we say, you know, you love your kids, there's just some people in this world that you continue to love, but they got a lot of baggage. Well, my St. Augustine has a lot of baggage. I still love it, but it's getting harder and harder to love it. So I'm just getting kind of tired of these problems.
Yeah, I know. I'm just about deciding, you know, whether to give up on it and go something more in a Bermuda strain or that A&M grass stuff.
Bermuda or Zoysia, like, I think, are the best options now if you're getting away from St. Augustine. I'm willing to give it one more year and see if this gray leaf spot continues to be as persistent as it has been in 2018. If it is, then I'm now. What variety? Do you remember what variety of St. Augustine?
I
have Raleigh. Mine is Raleigh.
I do not know, but I will say I've treated for fungicide the last couple of years, and for and that other one, the Brown's patch. Those chemicals are, you know, kind of fairly expensive, but
yes.
I'm trying to get to the root cause of this, and it did the patches. They started getting smaller, and then they had this big rain. We had a big rain the last few weeks, and all of a sudden, all these patches appeared.
That may be early brown patch. I put a post up yesterday warning people of brown patch on Facebook, and showing what it looks like. And next Thursday night's eGardens is going to have a long story on brown patch in St. Augustine, because it is prime time for it with the cool weather and with the moisture that Texas has had. That may be, if you're seeing patches, I mean distinct patches, like you put an old-fashioned metal garbage can lid down on the grass and then picked it up 2 days later, that would be brown patch.
Yep.
So.
Well, that's, Those are good recommendations. I think I'm going to go back. I think I'll treat for the pound patch and then the fungicide and then lay off the nitrogen and then.
Yeah, you don't need more nitrogen. I think you may have shot yourself in the foot with the nitrogen this year, and I did the same thing until Jim told me that. But anyway, and let me just say one more thing on the Bermuda and Zoysia options. As we grow those wall to wall across cities, we're going to see them develop some of these problems too. So they're not getting off scot-free. St. Augustine seems to have some problems. They're going to seem to have some problems. We had Pythium problems on Bermuda this spring, unlike others that we've seen before where areas develop brown turf in Bermuda, and it even showed up in Zoysia. So, you know, it's just no perfect turf grass yet. Anyway, that's my way to cheer your day.
Okay. I appreciate it.
Have a good one, Scott. Thanks for the call. Lily and Corpus Christi, stay with me. I'm going to get a break out of the way, and then I'll come to you. I promise I will, Lily. I look forward to that chance. NeilSperry.com is my website. It's kind of the hub of what I do for a living. If you go there, you see my book. You can buy my book there. It's the only place you can buy my book, short of calling my office. If you want to sign up for Neil Sperry's eGardens, that's the place you do that. If you want to see the place where we have archived my 1,001 frequently asked questions. Now it's about 1,030. I'm not going to go through and count. You got to take my word on that one. So anyway, those are the things, and plus other current event stories that are important to you. All of that available to you at neilsperry.com. I hope you'll go there, and I hope you'll sign up for eGardens. That's the message du jour, and I hope you'll consider getting my book anyway. All of that at neilsperry.com, one of the best websites in Texas horticulture. That's self-proclaimed. Just ask me. I'm sorry. That was a little arrogant sounding. That's at Neil Sperry, NeilSperry.com. More after these messages. Thank you, Kelly. I have time for another call if somebody wants to call right now. Somebody meaning you. I am speaking singularly to you. That phone number is 888-256-1080. Give us a call right now, if you will, please. We have Lily ahead of you in Corpus Christi, and then it would be your turn. 888-256-1080. Lily, this is Neil. Good morning. How can I help you?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. There is a gravel playground that has oak trees, and it constantly had, well, not constantly, but it, little shoots keep coming up, and we've been treating the shoots. We pull them out by hand, we put weed killer, or we do the weed eater, but it shoots the gravel, and they keep coming out. Is there a way we can kill them?
Well, and this is probably a live oak, right? Evergreen?
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lily, what happens is that, and you got to trust me on this one, this is something I've noticed all of my life since probably seventh or eighth grade. I used to pick up live oak acorns and grow them, and even as a kid, I noticed that a certain percentage of live oaks do exactly what you've said. It's about 10 or 15% of our live oaks do that, and it's a very bad habit that they have. It's a genetic blemish that those live oaks have. Their root sprouts are coming from the big roots of the mother tree. If you were to put a whole lot of weed killer on those sprouts, it would probably hurt the mother tree eventually because they're all tethered to the mama. Those roots are all one and the same. Cutting them off is one option, and in a lawn, that's probably the best thing to do. I understand the gravel. I would think using a weed eater in gravel, not only because it spins out the gravel, but also because it leaves stubs, and I would think kids could get hurt on those stubs of the stems. Actually, the best thing to do would probably be to get the gravel out of the way, and there's no good answer to this one, frankly, but get the gravel out of the way and then manually with an axe or with a sharpshooter spade, cut all of those where they come off the mother roots, and then put some kind of a layer down, a very heavy layer of like pond liner. I think that would work. I think they would be discouraged enough that they wouldn't come through that. Some weeds would, like nutgrass, nutsedge, but I don't believe the oak sprouts would. At least it'd be worth trying it in a small area, maybe a 5 foot by 10 foot area, and see if it works in that area before you do the whole tree. But I would, the tree will survive that because moisture will still get underneath. And that might, and then you could put your gravel back on top of it. But that, I think that's a better way than cutting them off at the level of the gravel, because I think the kids are going to get punctured somehow with those little stubs.
Yes.
I wish I had a better answer for you, but that's an honest answer. And let me tell you, I've answered that question so many times, and I've seen it so many times that I'm confident with my answer.
Okay. All right. Well, then that's what we're going to try and do.
All right. Good luck with it.
I'd
get a volunteer day out there to shovel gravel, and it's all in how you sell the job. You promise some watermelon and cake at the end of the day or something. I don't know what you do, but you got to, that one's on you. You got to figure that one out, Lily. Good luck with it. Thanks for the call. Let me get my last break out of the way, and I think we're going to stay in Corpus Christi. I may have one of my hardest questions of the year coming up next, so you can stay and see how I do on that one. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening. This is my book, and it is you know, when I did this, I had the option of redoing my old cowboy boot book, going back to that publisher and saying it's time for a redo, because that book was last done in 1991. It is, let's just say, it's getting very dusty. That's the book that you find in the stores and on Amazon, unfortunately. I wish it could just go away, not because I'm greedy about wanting to get sales for my newer book, my newest book, but really because the old book just is out of date on a lot of the stuff that it talks about. But anyway, that is what it is. I opted not to do that because the publishing firm had changed, and it just wasn't. I wanted to self-publish so that I wouldn't have to work with committees. I could decide what this book would contain. I could decide the paper, whether it be hardback or not. So many of the books are paperback or soft cover, and they're printed in China. I wanted a hardcover on high quality paper printed in Texas to keep that business in the Lone Star State. And that's what I was able to do. And this book costs less than it would have cost as a compromised book had I gone through a publishing house. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening is only $33.95 plus tax and postage, and I'll sign your book for you. I'll sign it before we mail it to you. It's 344 pages. It is 840 of my photographs, 11 chapters covering all aspects of outdoor gardening in Texas, including basics of gardening, a calendar of when to do everything in your landscape and garden, and then trees and shrubs and vines, ground covers, annuals, perennials, lawns, and fruit and vegetables. Satisfaction completely guaranteed. The only place you can get it is through my office, either by calling Monday through Friday. This is not the better way. I'll give you that in a moment. But the phone number, if you want to call, is 1-800-752-GROW. 800-752-4769. The better way is by ordering right now at neilsperry.com. NEILSPERRY.com. Mueller, made in America. Let me tell you about that just a little bit. There's a lot of talk these days about Made in America. Well, here's something that's been made in America for more than 85 years. Mueller Metal Roofing and Steel Buildings are made right here by people who care about quality of both materials and workmanship. Whether it's a metal roof for your home or a custom steel building, or even a shed or greenhouse for the backyard, Mueller means quality. Mueller has 4 manufacturing facilities right here in the USA, and with 33 branches for sales and service, there's a Mueller location near you. When you choose Mueller for metal buildings or roofing, you're choosing the best quality products to protect your family and your property. And you're supporting local jobs and local families, ordinary hard-working folks who are proud to provide a product made right here in America. Mueller Metal Roofing and Steel Buildings, more than 85 years of making customers' dreams come true. When a business has been around for 85 years, you can trust that they're doing things right. They can give you a more beautiful home, greater comfort, and better peace of mind. Visit MuellerInc.com, MuellerInc.com, or give them a call at 877-2-MUELLER, 877-268-3553. Mueller, made in America and made to last. I'll have more after this message. All right, Kelly, thank you very, very much. Let's go right back to those phone lines, and we will go to Victor in Corpus Christi. Victor, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
My question is I have a house on Padre Island, and, of course, the island is a big sand dune, and I have trouble trying to get any kind of San Augustine grass to grow there. I surmise that it's because the sand is laden with salt and the air is salty.
Probably so, yes, sir.
How can I fix it?
What do your neighbor? That's a really specialized question, and I'm going to have to work with you to get an answer. What do your neighbors have? What do other people have?
They choose to just white rock the entire property.
Which may give you a clue that that it's going to be very, very difficult. You may be better advised to go to a salt tolerant ground cover if you want to have something other than white rock. And I wouldn't want all that reflected light.
Well, I have dogs, and the rock gets so hot during the summertime that it burns the pads on their feet. So I elected not to do that.
Yeah, and a ground cover wouldn't help much because it couldn't go in that. Bark mulch would work well. That would probably be an option and I'm talking about the finely ground bark mulch. I assume that this has never breached, short of a really bad storm. It's not breached, and you wouldn't have a bad problem with washing of that bark mulch where you don't want it. I use a lot of bark mulch at my home as pathways, as a mulch in beds, and also as a soil amendment, and my dogs run on that, or have. I have one dog now, but it's proved to be a really good covering. That might be the best thing, but not for a whole yard. I get that.
Yeah.
I think probably what you're going to need to do, you know, a place that has done a wonderful job with landscaping is Galveston. I would look into I would do a little web searching for Galveston Island Master Gardeners, and because they are very active and they have posted a lot of good information about landscaping of their island. They also have an annual tour. I know that we did a story on the gardens of Galveston Island soon after one of the storms after Harvey. It was about 2 months after Harvey, so it would have been last fall. If you're interested in getting that, poor Gretchen at my office will be inundated now, but if you'll write to Gretchen@SperryGardens.com, she can send you a link to that story, and there is good information in it about plants that they use. I'm trying to think of ways that we can get you some help. It's such a specialized topic.
Is there a type of grass that's more salt and heat tolerant?
St. Augustine is usually the best. I don't know about Bermuda and some of the less common grasses. I need to do some research.
There's a lawn around the corner from me on another street. They have some type of grass growing, and I've never seen them mow it. It grows about maybe an inch and or so, inch and a quarter tall, and it looks like a golf course.
Well, I'll guarantee you they're mowing it if it's a turf grass. Find out what that is. Are you on Facebook?
Yes, sir.
I am too. It's NEILSPERRY. If I'd love to continue this. Yeah, NEIL, alphabetic order, EI. I would love to carry this conversation on there. I'm out of time. The program's going to go out here in just a moment. I'd love to carry this conversation on, and if you will establish that contact, I'll do some research for you, and I'll get the link for you for the story and also for the Galveston County Master Gardeners.
Sounds great.
All right. Thank you very much, Victor. Folks, I've enjoyed this very much. Nick, nice job. Thanks for listening. Happy gardening.